Morning, guys. So this morning I'm talking about change, and not actual change in your circumstances, but change in you, and how important that is for us. Maybe we can just start with Colossians 3:14. It says, "Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony." The NIV says, "Perfect unity." So we know that love joins us together in perfect unity. And unity is important because where there's unity, we reflect God. So when people come in here, they see 200 people from all different walks of life, but we're like super unified. Jesus says that's a sign that God is here. It's very difficult to unite 200 people around a common vision, but God is able to do that so that when unbelievers come in here, they go, gee, how unified are these guys? So we know that one of the foundations for that is love. That agape love, as we love one another, that bonds us together in unity. So that's important. But it's not the only thing. Amos, if we can bring up that Amos scripture, it says, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? And the direction for us is really important because if we don't have one vision, we can't walk together either. So we might actually love one another perfectly, so we got that unity. But what's very important too is we need to have one vision. And that vision is change. And we can see it here in Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So the Lord wants to change you so that you can look like Jesus. And this is not a one-off event. I just want to say this, is that I think it's important that you guys realize how big you are in the Lord, how important you are in the Lord. It's easy to think that you're just a number, that you're just only slightly different to unbelievers, average people on the street, but if we look at Ephesians 1, 3-4, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father." And if you wake up in the morning and you're struggling with your self-worth, or you wake up in the morning and you're struggling with a lack of vision, or you wake up in the morning and you're, geez, Lord, you know, you may feel the Lord, you may not feel the Lord. Often we don't feel the Lord necessarily that strong. Read the scripture. Joey said, pick up Ephesians 1, 3-4 and read this. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father." Really, I really do believe that if you get this into your heart, that you'll just suddenly go, whoa, okay. Like, if we actually look at the implications of the scripture, it's actually quite insane. Like, it's crazy. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." So far, so good. "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world." Okay, well, just park there for a sec. So he chose you before the earth was created. Okay, just park there for a moment. Okay, that your mind should already, if the Holy Spirit illuminates, your mind should already be going, okay, hold on now. So that's before Jesus was even crucified. Sin wasn't a problem that suddenly God came up with a solution for. So God knew that sin would happen. God knew that he would have to send his son. He knew the pain that his son would have to go through. And then he said, let's do it. And he spoke within the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and said, let's do this. We ready? Okay, let's do it. Boom. He pulls the trigger. Creates earth. Knowing already that you guys would sit here. And with purpose. That we should be holy and blameless before him. So the purpose of it all was that you should walk holy and blameless before him. So there's a purpose that we have over our lives. And I know that many of us might think, sheesh, I don't know how holy and how blameless I am. Because I don't think any single one of us can sit here this morning and go, I'm feeling pretty holy and blameless. But hopefully you're more holy and blameless than you were last week. And hopefully you're more holy and blameless than you were a year ago. And we look at a scripture that actually says that the difference between justification, just as if you never sinned, and the difference between sanctification. And that justification is a one-off event. Jesus justifies you as if you never sinned in one act on the cross, and you're receiving that by faith. It's done. But there's another pillar in our Christian walk, and that's sanctification, which is actually us being conformed to that image that's already given to us. So Jesus looks down and he sees his son when he looks at you, because you're covered by the blood, you're in Christ. So when he sees you perfect. But then also you need to be conformed to that image in practice, so that over time you start to look like what you already are. So you already are that thing, but then you start to look like that thing over time. And that actually people start to look at you and you actually start to look like Jesus. And that gives God glory. And we see it here. So something happens inside and then it gets worked out to the outside. The inside is done. The outside must be conformed to the inside. Jesus said, yeah, I'll go there in a sec. So here's the scripture. You can see both justification and sanctification in a single scripture, Hebrews 10:14. And you can see how justification is a single event, and you can see sanctification is a process. But they work, they're sitting together as two foundations in our Christian faith. For by a single offering, what is a single offering? Jesus dying on the cross. He has perfected, justified, just as if you never sinned. He has perfected for all time. So in one moment, he perfects you for all time. You can't make yourself any more good than you are right now. Okay? Repeat after me. I cannot make myself any more good than I am right now. It's done. Even our righteous rags are like, even our righteous acts are like filthy rags. You're perfect right now in the sun. But then, the second part of the scripture, those who are being sanctified. So notice being is a verb. It's a doing word. It's interesting. It doesn't say who those who have been sanctified, although we have been sanctified to some measure. It's we're being sanctified. We're being made holy. Our lives are starting to become holy over time. The one is a single event. The other is time. And today, I'm talking about time. I'm talking about how each one of you, how Mark was being changed into the image of God. So he accepted Christ. He was made instantly perfect because God looks down and sees the perfection of Christ upon him. He's hidden in Christ like the ark. The ark is a picture. So he's hidden inside there. But then he's slowly, because his inside has changed, he's been changed to look like Jesus. Will we ever look perfectly like Jesus? Will the process ever be 100% complete? John Wesley would say that it's theoretically possible, because why else would the Lord say to no longer sin? No longer sin. Like Jesus said to the one guy after he healed him, go and sin no more. So it's theoretically possible. Do any of us actually achieve it? I don't know. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But don't limit yourself. We are called to walk holy and blameless before him. Embrace who you are. Don't sell yourself short. There's something activated in you that is more powerful than you and I are, than we even understand fully. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. And we had that scripture word about it was seeing Jesus as he truly is. So we're beholding him with ever increasing glory. So hopefully how you're seeing Jesus is growing. are being transformed into his image. Transformed, so you're being changed into the image of God over time. Are you guys getting this? Okay. Don't let performance affect us, you know? Those two pillars, don't let sanctification become justification and don't let justification become sanctification. You've got to keep those separate at all times. We saw in that scripture how they're separate. You can't make yourself any more good than you are. But you can yield to his work in you. And we're going to look at his work today. So what does that look like practically? Before I go there, just in terms of, there's this movie called The Fly. I don't necessarily recommend you should go watch it. Definitely not kids. It's quite like a borderline horror movie. But it's what actually ends up happening is this scientist who's Jeff Goldblum. That's in the early Jurassic Park movies. That guy. So he's a scientist. He creates this time machine. And he goes into the time machine and it transports him across to another capsule. And he doesn't realize that as he's in the capsule and he's like fully naked, or, I mean, you don't see anything, but there can't be anything extra in there, okay? He doesn't realize that there's a fly in there. So this time machine takes all the DNA of the human and all the DNA of the fly, mixes them together, and transports them across the other capsule. So now he doesn't just have human DNA, he's got fly DNA, but he doesn't realize. Like he pops out on the other side looking exactly the same, but he doesn't realize something on the inside has changed. And then over time, he starts to transform into a fly, like half fly, half human. And it's pretty horrific. But excuse me for the analogy, but it's a great analogy of what's happened to us. You know, we suddenly get saved, that first moment we get saved, and we know we're different, but a lot of behavior on the outside is exactly the same. So I got saved, and this might shock you, but I used to see how many F-words, F-bombs I could put into one sentence, because when I said the F-bomb, it was something in me that was coming out, and I actually liked it. But I noticed in that first week, I didn't like it anymore. It didn't feel right, because the inside had changed, my DNA had changed, and now it's starting to come out. And I lost them in the first, did I ever not F-bomb again? I haven't F-bombed for more than 20 years, okay? By God's grace. But, okay, never. But I tell you what, those first few years, it might have come out every now and then when I was fully frustrated. I remember finishing a surf, and I had some terrible surf for some reason. I can't remember what the reasons were, but I was so angry that I actually was walking along the beach with my board. I was at Jeffreys Bay, and I was F-bombing, okay? Fully saved for about 3 years, and every time I said it, I felt like the whole of heaven got shocked. Whoa. And the angels were like, whoa. But it literally was, but I just knew this doesn't suit me. It doesn't fit me, and I repented, and the Lord forgave me. This change on the inside, I've got a diagram, and this diagram I find to be very, very helpful. So it's the body, soul. Let's just see how it looks on the. Okay, there we go. It's not too bad looking. So you've got three parts to you. You've got your spirit on the inside. You've got your soul, your mind, emotions, and your will. Now, that's the part that travels to heaven. Okay? And I would assume our spirits as well. But that area of mind, emotions, and will, you will carry on into heaven and you will have your mind, you will have your emotions, and you have your will. That's why Jesus said, what will a man give but lose his own soul? You get to keep your soul. You get to keep your mind. You get to keep your will. You get to keep your emotions. You will be in the next age remembering this age. And I'll be chatting. I'll be, hey, Gabby, remember that last age we were in? And she'd be like, oh, it was really bad. Yeah. You get to keep it. It's incredible. But the part that gets cut off that we will no longer have is our sinful nature. Because the sinful nature is heavily attached to that outside part, which is body. In fact, the Bible calls flesh sarx. And sometimes the Bible doesn't know whether to call this sarx or our sinful nature sarx. Sometimes it's hard to separate them. What this body wants, you know, and Paul says, who will set me free from this body of sin? And then he says, through Jesus Christ my Lord, he will set me free from this body. But the body is not evil. That's called Gnosticism. And they actually thought that your body is not evil, but your body has a side to it that's not lacquer. Yeah, it says, lift up holy hands. How can I lift up something evil? I even know that my hands are holy. Your body is not a bad thing, but your body has this old sinful nature that we inherited from Adam. Our great, 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 great grandfather. So when God comes in to the inside, it starts to spread out into our mind, our emotions, and our will. The effects of the Holy Spirit. And then eventually comes out through our body in actions. And Wendy was sharing how even in that beautiful testimony, even how her sin was affecting her physical. Remember, she said she had to get free of this thing, but that thing was affecting her physically. What's happening on the inside can affect the outside. And we've got the energy of Christ in our bodies. I recall I phoned my mom when I got saved. This was in 1989. I phoned my mom. I said, Mom, I've just been born again because I was fully changed. And she went, oh no, please. You know, what other thing have you got stuck into now? You know, what cult have you joined now, you know? And then she picked me up from the airport about a few weeks later. And we're just driving. I'm just chatting, not even trying anything, not trying to be anything. And she said, you've changed. You've changed. Like there was just, I'm a different person. It's because it was flowing out from within. And I wasn't even trying. I wasn't faking it. I had been changed. God had changed my heart. And the love that he put in my heart was now just coming out. So God has put love in our hearts, and it's going to change you. But are you going to resist or go with the flow? So the Lord changes us in all three of those areas. So you can just leave that up. Actually, you're not going to be able to because you're going to put up scriptures. But just keep that picture in mind, yeah. So the first one, he's going to say, I'll show you, change in us our mind, you'll change us in our emotions, you'll change us in our will. So, first of all, your mind, Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we begin to think like he thinks. And 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. But don't assume that you have the mind of Christ automatically. I'll just put this, is it a caveat? We still got to inquire of the Lord through prayer. Don't just say, I know what the Lord thinks. Are you sure you know what the Lord thinks? He's still there and you're not God. Even though God's in your heart, but you're not God yourself. You still have to have this conversation with a being, but there will be a witness. He'll share something and you'll go, that makes perfect sense. Why? Because you're his child and his Holy Spirit's in you. There'll be a witness. 2 Samuel 2:1. After this, David inquired of the Lord. We need to inquire of the Lord on everything. Don't assume that you suddenly, just because it feels good, it is good. Check with your leaders. Check with your friends. Check with your buds. Check with your mom and dad. Do you think this is the Lord? David says, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said, go up. I mean, it's a pretty cool conversation that David's having that he could hear the Lord so clearly. But in this instance, we've all had a moment when the Lord spoke clearly to us. And then even in more detail, David said, to which shall I go up? And he said, to Hebron. The Lord is giving David his mind. So he's thinking like God. He's thinking, okay, I'm going to go up. And he's thinking, I'm going to go to Hebron. Where did he get those thoughts from? He got those thoughts from the Lord. We need to be inquiring daily of the Lord. What's the Lord thinking? And work out that mind of Christ. We need to think like God thinks. Number two, your will. Your will becomes subservient to Jesus, which is that other part of your soul. Luke 22:42, Jesus models, yet not my will, but yours be done. That even Jesus was modeling that. He said, my will is submitted to the Lord. Is your will submitted to the Lord? Is my will submitted to the Lord? I tell you what, the will can be a difficult thing to break. Are you a horse? A meek horse? I know you're a stallion, but are you? You know, stallions are useless until they are harnessed. Okay, all they do is they run around the field and they poop in the field. Okay? But if you can, and run with his mates, you know? But if you can, do you know even the other horses, the older horses, you know, go check it. The older horses will bite the younger horses until the younger horses become submitted and then run with the herd. The older horses teach the younger horses to be submitted. Are you submitted? Is your will like the same as Jesus? Even Jesus said, not my will. And Galatians 5:25 says, we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. It doesn't say keep in step with yourself. You got to wake up in the morning and go, Lord, guide me today. I want to keep in step with you, not too slow, not too fast. If the Holy Spirit's moving too fast, catch up. If the Holy Spirit's waiting, stay. Stay or go, but keep with the Lord. And it says keep in step. It's like quite detailed. And then the last one is your emotions. Your emotions are transformed into love, joy, and peace. This doesn't mean that you can't have medical help, because some of us might have an imbalance and that's part of the fight. I'm not talking about that, but there should be an improvement in your emotions, hopefully over time, and let's even trust for healing in the area of your emotions. Galatians 5:22-23, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind, I like how the NLT does it, produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace. Is that growing in your emotions, that you love, joy, peace? You know, joy is such a powerful thing. It's more powerful than any drug, actually, through the Holy Spirit. Is that joy grabbing hold of your heart, because that joy has got zero to do with your circumstances? And then over time, your character is changed. So as your emotions get changed, as your will gets changed, and as your mind gets changed, your character gets changed, your description of you. And that's why they say when they choose eldership, they don't choose on just primarily on gifting. They choose on character, because the character of the elder should reflect God fairly well. And how does God look? And we see that in the description of agape, which we spend a lot of time on, 1 Corinthians 13:4-5. And as leaders, this is a great challenge for us, because even none of us is perfect. We even fall, but we at least, hopefully, by God's grace at a minimum level that is appropriate to our office. Love is patient, love is kind, etc. And that becomes what we're like. We're patient, we're kind. Actually, we're not faking it. Like when if chief comes onto eldership and he's still a deacon right now, anyone can might have that in their future. And chief, you look at chief and you look at chief and you say, you know, is chief, let me just double check it, is chief patient? I think he is. And I almost like to say that he's not faking it. Is he perfect in patience? No. I'm sure he has been taken beyond by his kids. But I can tell you why Chief is patient. He didn't become patient instantly. And we heard his testimony 2 or 3 weeks ago. He became patient because the Lord worked some tough things through him through his life. You know, when he was raising those chickens, I tell you what, I'm waiting for those eggs to hatch. And he's, you know, and he's got a degree. And he's sitting out like David in the field, you know. like just being faithful with a sheep, even though he's called to be a king. The Lord is building patience. So sometimes whatever you're going through, the Lord is building stuff into you. Is he kind? Chief has always been kind to me. Is Kia here today? Is she in with the kids? Okay, we'll ask Kia if he's kind. Does he envy? I know that Chief doesn't envy. Well, at a minimum level. And I don't think he's boastful, and I don't think he's proud. And I don't think he dishonors others, and I don't think he's self-seeking. Not perfect. And I don't think he's easily angered. And that's why we could possibly put Chief forward as an elder, is because we look at this and we go, and then we put his photo up. This is all hypothetical, by the way. And then we put his photo up, and then we say, does Chief look like that? And if anyone thinks that he doesn't look, not perfect, but he doesn't look like that at a minimum level, then we go, okay, a little bit more time. He needs to be in the oven a bit longer. You know? The bread is still a little bit doughy. So are we all happy with change? Change is really important for us to embrace, and that's the name of this preach, Embracing Change. So what is the problem? The problem is we don't like change. You will never meet a human being that likes change. And the reason is, I'll give you five reasons why we don't like change. Number one, the fear of losing control. We have to relinquish control of our lives to another, which is God. We have to let go and let him. Whew, that's hard. Especially if we've been hurt. If we've been hurt in the past and we blame everything on God, and now we say, well, we need to know that God is good. Number two, fear of discomfort. We don't like discomfort. We have our comfort zones. We wake up in the morning and I like my coffee, and then I like this and I like that. And Donna's different to me, and Ethan's different to me, and you're different to me. We have our preferences. But if our preferences are different to what the Lord wants for us, those preferences must come submitted to his preferences. We have the things that we like. You know, if you ever go on outreach and you're, I've heard some of the outreach stories are like horror stories. You know, you might have like, your toilet is like a long drop, you know? It's outside the house, there's no flushing, you know? But you're on outreach now, you're serving the Lord, it doesn't matter. You help build some church somewhere in Porfido, you know? And your preference is, I don't like this. But you notice that those things must yield. We don't like upheaval in our lives. And the Lord wants us to, and you can remember this because it sounds really good. I don't know if I've heard it anywhere else, but this is coming from me. I will copyright this if it's never been used before. We need to be comfortable in the uncomfortable. So why don't we say this? I need to be comfortable in the uncomfortable. Are you? Am I? Because the Lord's, I tell you what, when Peter was walking on the water, he was not comfortable. He would prefer to be in the boat, not on the water. But we never wrote an amazing Bible story about him being in the boat. The Holy Spirit wrote an amazing Bible story about him being on the water. And he's going to call us out into the water, and you're going to be uncomfortable, but I tell you what, that's where the glory is. With our eyes on Jesus. Fear of loss of identity. Are you going to lose your soul? We fear that, you know, if Jesus said, what will man give for his own soul? Jesus is kind of saying that your soul is the most important thing you have. I mean, that's the thing that we'll go through to eternity. We fear that we're going to become like some kind of brainwashed cookie cutter. Do you keep your soul? Yes, you keep your soul. Here's a cool story. So we've got a dog called Daisy. Now, some of you have met Daisy. Daisy is a Pomeranian, and she has good behavior and bad behavior. Some of you have felt the bad behavior. She barks like crazy, but she's just excited to see you, okay? So please forgive us if we have had you run at our house and she has greeted you in a very offensive way. She's just excited and happy to see you. But if I had to put Daisy in another body, I would still recognize Daisy. I still see little mannerisms about her. But Donna and I will discipline Daisy. But what we're doing is we're just cutting off the bad and encouraging the good. But the essence of Daisy stays the same. You just become a better version of yourself. But you stay yourself. Your uniqueness stays. And you don't have to fear that you become something that you, I don't recognize myself. You will recognize yourself even more. But it's just, you will even enjoy yourself more. Because you know we have a conversation with ourselves and we're not mad. We're self-aware. You will enjoy yourself more because those things that are hurting you will be cut off. Fear of rejection is one of the things that resists change. If I come into the light, will I be rejected? Yes, by man, but never by God. And that's where your security needs to be. Psalm 27:10, and this is beautiful. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. And that's your security. Because I can tell you right now, is we can sing kumbaya and we can make sure that, but because we live with so many weak people, we will get hurt. We will be rejected. But that's not our rock. This is our rock. The ESV says, the Lord will take me in. And this causes you to come into the light because you don't care if someone accepts you or rejects you. You don't actually care because the master of the universe accepts you, loves you, has taken you underneath his wing. And that's your security. And that security is unshakable and causes you to not perform. You just be yourself. We had someone, this guy die at 19 years old. I can't remember his name when I was in PE at Harvest. If there's anyone here from the Harvest days, they may have remembered him. I can't remember his name right now, but he died in a car accident, but he was in a band and called Lung Butter. And he used to sing the song, Let Me Be Who I Am. And it sounds like maybe fleshly, Let Me Be Who I Am, but the Lord actually wants you to come out. Your essence. And we're afraid to come out because we're afraid to be rejected. So we wear masks. We wear masks. And Sunday is sometimes the worst. You know, only when you go play 30 seconds do you see the mask come off. And only when you've been camping and that, why did they invent that air mattress? It has caused punishment upon mankind. And that air mattress goes to zero by 3 a.m. and you're lying on that ground. Do you see the mask come off? And then the Bible says, and this is why, this will give us an understanding of 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So only when we're real do we actually have real fellowship. If I really know Gavin and Gavin really knows me, like good and bad, we actually have true fellowship. And that's why we need to be secure to be able to reveal ourselves. But when you reveal yourself, here's a warning. Listen, man may or may not, hopefully we are committed to accepting one another, but I can't guarantee that. But your security needs to be in the Lord, that he loves you. He digs you. He's got you. And it's amazing if you get that into your heart, how you don't actually care. You want people to like you, but if they don't like you, it's interesting how you care a lot less when you know that the master of the universe loves you and adopted you and that you are his kid. Fear of the unknown. This is number 5. Fear of the unknown. What will happen to me? Is there a good plan? And this fridge magnet is extremely good. Jeremiah 29:11 on resolving your doubt. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. God cannot go against his word. So that's his word to you. It's probably the best fridge magnet. Because it's true. He only wants good things for you. And the last one I have on this one is fear of pain. There is a gym statement that says, no pain, no gain. I'm not saying that pain is the only way, but sometimes it is the only way. You can copyright that one as well. Jay. Pain is not the only way, but sometimes it is the only way. So when we are going through this process, it can feel like an operation. Imagine you're going in for a big operation. Anyone been into a big operation, like something very serious? Like if you could die. Michelle over there. Sure, there's a few others. I can guarantee you that when you go into a big operation where you could die, all of these things that I mentioned, you're feeling them. You've got to put your life in the hands of another. You're like, oh my goodness, fear of unknown. You know? All these fears. But what makes it doable? What makes an operation doable? An anesthetic. You just go, you know what? I'm just going to lie there. They're going to count back 10, 9, and I'm going to be gone. And they're going to wake up and it's done. So there's an anesthetic which makes it. Imagine doing an operation without an anesthetic. You know, in the old days, you know, everyone takes it. Okay, not recommending. Okay. But the cowboy movies, you know, everyone takes a swig of whiskey, gives it to the guy. Whiskey as well. Okay, let's do it, you know. And put a stick in his mouth, you know. And I mean, that's hectic. But fortunately, the Lord doesn't do that with us. He gives us an anesthetic. And I'm going to give you four things which are the anesthetic of God. Number one, and some of this stuff goes without saying, but remind yourself. Because if you're going through the transformation, if God's doing heart surgery on you, who's been through heart surgery? Like, you know, well, I know Wendy did, because Wendy was like, God, remove this thing. I tell you, you can feel God's doing a deep work. If God does a deep work, sometimes you can get discouraged, but you've got to remind yourself of this. So I'm hoping, remember, the name of my preacher is Embracing Change. I want us as a culture to not only be open to change, but actually that we want to change, because we realize that change is in us and that we're called to change. How can we embrace change as a culture? Like, really embrace it. Like, if we put out a target 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, love one another. Okay, so that target was there for a while. If the next target that we're putting out, and I shared it with the elders and they're in agreement, if the next target that we're putting out is change, if some of us resist change and some of us embrace change, that's a division. That's two visions. But if every single one of us embrace change, every single one of us, we see it in the scripture, we see we're called to change. Imagine how much unity we're going to have amongst us, because we're like pregnant with change. And it's going to be easier to speak into each other's lives, because the scripture here, Proverbs 9:8, NLT. So don't bother correcting mockers, that they will only hate you, but correct the wise and they will love you. That'll become much more part of a scripture. So David, come up here. So David knows me fairly well. I'm going to be extremely vulnerable now. Okay? I didn't plan this. Mm-hmm. Speaking to my life. Like, really?
Speak into your life.
Is there anything you see? You've walked with me for a few years. I know I'm an elder. I know I'm an elder, but is there anything you see in my life that you think I could be better in?
You're off. Okay. No, I'm joking.
Have mercy.
Have mercy. No, I'm joking.
Speak in love.
Speak in love. Speak in love. For real. For real. It's difficult. It's difficult because you are amazing, and there's so much. You know what I do feel? I feel like you can sometimes have the tendency to doubt yourself, as I do as well, you know? And I feel like there's just nothing to worry about. I feel like I want to see you be bold. I want to see you, you know, you are bold, but I feel like in what God's bringing you into, just put your head up, just run. You know, there's going to be stuff that comes against us, and that's okay, but I want to see you just being like, let's charge through this wall. You know what I mean? And I feel like maybe that's an area that you can grow in. You know, we're talking about change, we're talking about stuff that we can grow in together, but yeah, go for it, man.
So pray for me.
Pray for you, yeah, yeah. I feel like let's pray for him together, because this is our leader, this is a man that we are following, and we're trusting God to actually, like, as he's the spearhead for us as this congregation. So Jesus, I just want to thank you even right now, God, for your grace, Lord, for Joey. I thank you that you've called him to lead us in this family. I thank you, God, that you've given him anointing and given him power in the Holy Spirit, and set him apart for this, Lord. And I just want to pray, God, for your spirit of boldness, Lord, just to come upon him in a fresh way, God. And I pray for his feet to be just firmly set in you, Jesus, as we were talking even now, like God, you are our foundation, and you're the one that gives us the strength, and you're the one who's inside us. So God, I pray that his eyes would just continue to be fixed on you, Jesus. Fixed on you with your eyes blazing with fire, Lord. And I pray that you would continue to encourage him, to motivate him, Lord, and just continue to give him the strength that goes beyond understanding, peace that goes beyond understanding, Lord, because you're with him. And we just, as the congregation and his family, we just want to agree with that, Lord. And I thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. And we just look forward to what you're doing in this season. So we love you, Lord, and we love you, Joey.
Love you. Amen. Thanks, David. Okay, so was that, I didn't tell David anything. Hey, he could have free reign. I just said, please, love and mercy, okay? But was that so hard? Was that so hard? Yes. But I want to tell you is that if that gets released, obviously do it within the parameters of love. Speak the truth in love, okay? In agape, yeah? So look at the agape grid. But if we release that, knowing our worth to the Lord in every area, I tell you what, something incredible will happen, yeah? And each one of us will start to look more like Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let me pray before I give the microphone back to Chief. Why don't you just stand and let me pray for us. Now, Lord, I thank you that from the first day that each one of us was saved, that change was activated in our hearts. We know that it's not us, but as Paul prayed, it's your Holy Spirit working powerfully within us. Your energy, the Greek is energia, working within us through your Holy Spirit. So Lord, I pray that every single one of us here would embrace change, that we're called to change, and you'd give us grace, Lord, to receive it. I pray that for every single one of us here, as we also call to speak into each other's lives. Because sometimes we can't see what we're lacking. Or we suspect it, but it needs to be confirmed. That you'd give us, as David did so wonderfully, give us that grid of love. That we can do it gently, but also not shy away from the truth, Lord. So that we can all become better versions of ourselves. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen.